come up with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to yet another episode of Premier Talk, the Premier Talk podcast. This is episode 8. I'm one of your two hosts, as always, Andrew Mello, and alongside with me is Daniel Barbuto, Daniel B. We've got a good one in store for you guys today. We're going to call this one the Premier League All-Star Game, question mark. We're going to talk about it. We're going to debate it, see if it's a possibility. Daniel, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, like I said last week, midterm season, a lot of tests, a lot of stuff going on with school right now. We're staying busy, but there's definitely lots of soccer to talk about, even though it's an international break right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about some recap games, match day 29. So there's a lot still to talk about.
Mm-hmm. On that note, let's hop right into the starting lineup. To start us off, we got match day 29 recap.
Oh, Canada soccer recap.
We're going to talk about Premier League All-Star game.
And then we're doing a segment we like to call Guess the Nationality, where I guess the nationality of various Premier League players. Super excited.
Good one for you guys today. Let's start us off here with our match day 29 recap. There wasn't a lot of games because, like we said, it was international break. We're just making up some games here and there over the last 29 match days. So starting us off, Friday, March 19th, we got Fulham versus Leeds. Leeds came out on top in this one, 2-1. We got Bamford scoring in the 29th minute. Then we got the center back, Joachim Andersen for Fulham. He scored in the 38th minute. And then Rafinha, he scored the decider for Leeds in the 58th minute. Andrew, overall, I think this is a great win for Leeds. What do you feel?
Massive win for Leeds, regardless of the scoreline. 2-1 is not the biggest of scorelines, but nonetheless, it's a win for Leeds. A massive one. Fulham would have liked to squeeze a point away against home against Leeds, but... Unfortunately for them, Leeds got the better of them. And Rafinha, he's been an electric player since he's come in. He's done a fine job.
Mm-hmm. We're moving on to the next game here, Saturday, March 20th. We got Brighton versus Newcastle. Brighton came out in this one and absolutely destroyed Newcastle. It was a great scoreline for them. We got Trossard. He scored in the 45th minute, 45th plus three in injury time. And then Danny Welbeck scored in the 51st minute. And then Neil Maupay scored in the 68th minute. Overall, I don't think there's much to say in this one. Brighton came out, had a great game plan, executed perfectly, and came out with a 3-0 win.
This was a shocking result for me, the scoreline. You know, this game, flip a coin, any team could win it, really. I think they're quite evenly matched. But it was kind of surprising that Brighton did it in the fashion that they did, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Trossard is such a sleeper. The Belgian international recently got a call up too as well. But he's been probably their best player going forward up front. He's very technical, much more technical than that of Neil Maupay. Neil Maupay, more of a hold up guy, less technical, but I really like Trossard and what he brings to that team up front for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he deserves the credit, and him getting called up to the national team is exactly what he deserves. We're going to move on to Sunday, March 21st here. This was probably the game of the match day, although there was only three games. This game was huge. We got West Ham versus Arsenal in a 3-3 draw. Starting us off in the game, we got Jesse Lingard, you know, continuing his great form. He scored in the 15th minute to make it 1-0 for West Ham. James Bowen scored 2 minutes later in the 17th minute. And then Thomas Suchek scored in the 32nd minute to start West Ham off, leading this game 3-0. 32 minutes in, they're up 3-0. Arsenal battled back in this one. 6 minutes after Suchek's goal, he scored an own goal in the 38th minute. Then another own goal came from Chris Dawson in the 61st. And then Lacazette equalized in the 82nd minute. It was absolutely scenes all across. I know all the Arsenal fans were going nuts. They felt that they deserved to win this one. But then again, you look at it, they scored West Ham scored two own goals. But overall, it shows something that we haven't seen from Arsenal in a while, which is battling back and actually tying a game where they look like completely out of it.
Daniel, for me, three words, not good enough. That's literally not good enough from Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And to battle back is one thing, but you got a little bit of help from West Ham center half, Chris Dawson. And you also got help from their midfielder, Suchek, who scored two goals in this day, one in his own net, one in the opposing net. So, you know, give credit to Arsenal in terms of being hungry to fight back, because many teams would have given up. But they got a little bit lucky on this day, and it's not good enough from Arsenal to go down 3-0 that early on in that fashion. Just pathetic. And if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'd be dreaded that you get a point because you'd want to win a game like this against a team that's been performing, and you want to prove, you know, it's a derby as well. It's a London team, so it's quite embarrassing to go down 3-0, and they're so lucky to get back in that game and tie 3-3. So lucky.
Yeah, the own goals definitely helped. I know, obviously, you got to be good to be lucky and lucky to be good, but you know what? They battled back. I got to give it to them there. I know, obviously, you feel like if you're Arsenal, you should be beating a team like West Ham, but West Ham's been performing this year. They've been great this year. So, you know what? I think both of them, I think for, if you're looking at it, West Ham would kind of probably hit it a little bit more that they dropped 2 points in this one, especially being up 3-0, which is just brutal to come back and drop 2 points from. But if you're Arsenal, I don't think you mind the 1 point, especially coming back down from a 3-0 deficit. We're going to move on to match day 18 here. This is match day 18 makeup game. There was one game that was skipped on match day 18. It was Aston Villa versus Tottenham. Tottenham won this one 2-0. Pretty convincing, if you ask me. You got Carlos Vinicius. He scored in the 29th minute. I don't know if this is the first time he's gotten on the game sheet, but good for him because I know he was ranked pretty highly coming into this Tottenham team from Andrews Benfica. And then we got Harry Kane. He converted from the penalty spot in the 68th minute to seal the win. And exactly what you want from Tottenham. Zero goals against, nice 2-0 win. And what else can you ask for?
Yeah, Vinny from Benfica Loney, his release clause is currently sitting at 45 mil. I've been reading a lot of Portuguese news lately in terms of his transfer situation, and it doesn't look like it doesn't appear that Tottenham wants to sign in for that clause of 45 million. And from a Benfica fan perspective, we've been really needing a striker of his stature, one that can hold the ball up, one that is clinical in front of goal, one that brings a little bit of confidence up front, because we've been lacking that in our front line. Although Hedis Seferovic has been doing better of late, he scored it for the national side this week as well. But a guy like Vinny coming back to Benfica would be awesome, because I was shocked to see him go in the first place on loan. And for Tottenham, it's just really hard for him to get those consistent minutes because Harry Kane is there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a tough situation. He's been able to score in the Europa League for them, which has been nice, and get some minutes in the Europa League. But they crashed out of that, and that was an absolute joke of a game for them to lose 3-0 against Zagreb. They lost an extra time there. That was a joke. I was just saying how I thought Tottenham would be able to win the Europa League, but, you know, I can't really bet on them anymore, knowing that and seeing the result and the way the team shaped up, and that team's just in shambles. Mm-hmm. Terrible team.
Yeah, we're gonna discuss more about the Champions League, the draw and the Europa League draw next week, because we got another week of international break. But yeah, just seeing Tottenham losing the fashion that they did to Dynamo Zagreb. Obviously, a man like Orsic coming in, and he gets three goals now on a nice hat trick, and he played fantastic in that one. He's the reason why they won that game. Again, got to give credit to him, but this Tottenham team has just been shocking over the last, I'm going to say, last 2 months. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, it's a terrible stretch.
It hasn't been a good stretch for them. So coming out and beating Aston Villa 2-0, you got to love it from a Tottenham fan perspective. We're going to move on here to what Andrew called O Canada. We're going to discuss a little bit of Canada soccer. Andrew's wearing his Canada kit. He loves it. I don't keep up with Canadian soccer as much as Andrew does, so I'm going to pass the mic on to him for this one. He's just going to discuss a little bit. They're going through CONCACAF qualifiers right now, Olympic qualifiers at the same time. So I'm going to toss to Andrew. He's going to discuss a little bit about Canada soccer.
Yeah, so this is a Premier League podcast, but I felt like it was really important to talk about Canadian soccer because there's something to be excited about. There's a buzz going on with Canadian soccer right now. And obviously, we're from Canada, born and raised here. So, you know, I like to keep an eye on Canadian soccer as much as I try to keep an eye on Portuguese soccer. So, there's a doubleheader yesterday on the 25th of March. I believe it's 25th, yes. And to start that off, it was the men's team in action. They were playing down in Orlando at Orlando's home stadium. And they're playing Bermuda in CONCACAF qualifiers. This is like a preliminary group to then go play like the bigger countries like Jamaica, the States, Mexico, those teams. And then after them, they could qualify for the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar. This is a huge, like, start for them. They won this game 5-1 against Bermuda, rightfully so, because Bermuda is heavily inferior. Davies, he was incredible, and you know, looking at the competition he was playing against, it was really easy for him to just jet by down the wing, and he literally spoon fed goals to Kyle Lahren, and Cavallini even balled a terrible one. He missed like an empty net sweaty goal, but Alphonso Davies, it shows you how exciting Canada is going forward. There's a lot of young talent like him. Jonathan David's another one. He didn't get called. I don't know what the situation was there. I don't know if France allowed him to come over, the France Federation. But there's a lot of, there's a young plethora of talent with this squad, and they really came out and showed Bermuda who was boss. And another notable stat from this was that Kyle Larkin got on the score sheet three times. The Besiktas man, formerly of Orlando City, played he's from Canada. Just a tremendous showing from him. Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk about Theo Corbianu. He's an 18-year-old striker from the Wolves system. He used to be FTFC. He went over to Wolves. He's playing for the development side, the U23s, and he's been tearing it up there. And he's even been called up for the first team. He's been sitting on the bench. Hasn't made his debut yet, but I'm anticipating he will very shortly because he's a talent that Canadian fans should be really excited about moving forward. So they won that 5-1. And then I watched the second game of the doubleheader. This was the U23s, and they're playing down in Mexico. They're playing their final group stage match against Honduras. Winner of this game would play the States in the semis, opposed to the loser of this game coming in second in the group would then play Mexico, which is the best team by far in this tournament. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to catch them. And the two winners of the semifinals advance on Sunday. They go to the Olympics. So regardless, if you lose in the final, you still make it. Whoever is a finalist in the tournament makes it. Mm-hmm. And I was watching Canada, and they were playing a Honduras side that appeared to be better. I think Honduras is the better team in this match. And Honduras, did deserve to win. But Canada scored first. It was Derek Cornelius, the young center half. He's the leader, the skipper for the team as well. Plays for the Whitecaps. He's originally from Ajax, Ontario. Great player. I think he's been their leader, the best player by far in this team. He scored a thumping header off of a Metcalf cross. And then Honduras, it was kind of Pantemis, the goalie for Canada came out and he made a bad error and they were able to score an empty net header really just moments later. And the game finished 1-1. But one thing I want to take away from this game is there was no creativity from Canada in the midfield. And I'm watching this so closely because a friend of a friend got selected for the team, Lucas Dias. He's a super talent. He's only 18 years old, plays for Sporting Portugal U23s. And he moved over there at a very young age from here after being scouted from here. And I feel like players like that need to be given the opportunity because every time he's come on as a substitute, he's made an immediate impact. He's been able to call for the ball and find himself in the right positions in order to transition forward and quickly start attacking opportunities. And I feel like a player like that shouldn't be sitting on the bench. I feel like he should be playing. And I feel like if he is, there could be some real danger going forward for this Canadian national team because they got guys like Tejan Buchanan from the New England Revolution who is a player of great velocity. He's very good going forward. And when he's in front of goal, it could be a real danger. He scored two goals in the opener against El Salvador. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about Canada. Super excited for this team. And I really hope that both teams, the men and the U23s, can have success. And who knows, maybe the U23s, if Derek Cornelius got a knock in that game too, hopefully he's healthy for that semifinal against Mexico. Who knows what can happen? I'm super excited and it'd be awesome to see both teams progress and do well. And it'd be good to see Canada on the international stage for once.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I know I haven't watched a lot of this. One point I do want to touch on top of what you said, we'd love to see Canada progress to an international, like a big stage. Obviously, if you look at the World Cup, they haven't been in a World Cup in, I don't even know how long they haven't been in a World Cup in. They're going to be in the 2026 World Cup that is taking place in Canada, US, and Mexico because they automatically get qualified into that because we're the host nation.
I don't know if Canada is getting they weren't sure. They said Canada might have to qualify, which I didn't understand. It was Mexico really? And the States for sure. Yeah, I was reading up on it, but I think they might give Canada the nod as well. So it hasn't been decided yet.
Hopefully they do. So there's that. And then another point I want to touch on, Alphonso Davies. I think he's one of the best left backs in the world. Obviously he competes with, you got Andy Robertson in that, you got who else? You got Theo Hernandez from AC Milan.
Mendy's good too as well from Real Madrid.
But if you look at, he's being compared to these players, Canadian international, it's fantastic if you're from a Canadian standpoint because you got a player that is young that you can hope for and he's already fantastic. And to see him go and strive for this Canadian national team could be something, could be exactly what this Canadian team needs.
And Daniel, another notable name in this Canadian roster that they just were able to switch over from Portuguese nationality was Steven Eustáquio. He was born and raised in Windsor. He's been playing his football in Portugal for Chaves. Then he moved to Mexico, had an injury, didn't work out for him. Now he's back in Portugal again, playing for Pastores de Ferreira. And they're doing a tremendous campaign, and he's a big role. And he's been even linked to a switch over to Porto for only 3.5 million, which is a bargain, I think, for him. So there's these players coming to this team that they've been able to bring over and have commit to Canada. And it's there's something with this program that's truly exciting. There's still a lot of development that needs to occur. But there's definitely some pieces here that are excited, something to be excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Thank you, Andrew, for talking about Canada soccer. We're going to move on to a little thing we asked on our Instagram stories. For those of you that are following our Instagram page, you guys would know. We were looking into a Premier League All-Star game. This would be, I think, I know we asked you guys, so I'm going to get touch on your feedback first. Basically, the question we asked was, should the Premier League have an All-Star game at the end of the season? There is a couple leagues across the world that do it. We got a lot of feedback from you guys on our Instagram, so thank you for that. Our general consensus was that it would be really good. You'd have probably more than 22 guys. You'd have two teams, probably of what, 16, 18? 18, I would say. And they would go head-to-head against each other. There was even mention on their Instagram page about a skills competition, even a little bit of banter from a couple of Chelsea fans saying that it would just be Chelsea's first and second squad. We're going to just include that because why not? But Andrew, how do you feel about it? I know I think I would like it, but I want to get your opinion on it first.
This is something that hasn't been in talks for the Premier League. We just wanted to talk about it. We thought it'd be cool. I'm for it because there's numerous reasons. You could either do it two ways. You can have two teams from the Premier League play against each other and do an All-Star game like that, similar to the NBA, or you can have the best players, the best roster in the Premier League play against like a La Liga team or like a Bundesliga All-Star team. That'd be pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. And that would be a spectacle to draw in viewers, obviously. But I think this formatting where you're bringing the best players forward can generate a lot of new revenue for the Premier League. And if the Premier League was to go and do an All-Star game, why wouldn't a North American audience want to tune into that? They're so familiarized with it in terms of like seeing it in hockey and basketball, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd be a great opportunity for the Premier League to expand their borders and really attract new audiences. So I'm for it in that sense. And I think it'd just be something cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be awesome to see, I don't know, half of like Manchester City's team play against the other half of Manchester City's team, you know, like, wouldn't it be cool to see like a De Bruyne go up against, I don't know, a Gundogan or, you know, Ruben Dias has to defend Sterling. Like, that'd be something cool for me to see. And I think there'd be a lot of interesting storylines for sure. And if you were to do it with multiple leagues, like the Bundesliga and La Liga or Serie A, like I mentioned, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be very cool to see.
Yeah, I'm going to completely agree with you. I think that it would be great to see. I'm more for the NBA, the way that the NBA does it, where they choose two teams from the NBA and then they go up against each other. So in this case, it'd be two teams of 18 from the Premier League. You choose the two best coaches of the year. They also get put into these two teams, and then they go at it. Maybe if it's one game, maybe it's tournament style. They have three games. Whoever takes two of the three games wins. I feel like it would generate a lot of revenue for the Premier League. I think that they would have a lot of viewership because there's people all over that world.
New viewership too, for sure.
Yeah. People all over the world that would love to see this happen. You're seeing basically the best 36 players in the league playing against each other. I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I would love to see it. And I think it would be a great idea for the Premier League.
And why not, like you mentioned, like a skills competition? That'd be awesome. Like, wouldn't you want to see an Andy Carroll go up against a Peter Crouch and then header competition? That'd be awesome. Why not? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you can do skills competitions. You skills can do penalties. You can do anything. You can do goalies. There can be
free kick. So free much... kick competition would be awesome, yeah, too.
There could be so much different little competitions that they have. I think it would be great, personally.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to see it.
We're going to move on to our final segment here. This is a new one. It's a little quiz for that. I'm going to quiz Andrew. It's called Guess the Nationality. I'm going to be picking 10 players that play in the Premier League currently. And Andrew needs to guess the nationality they are from. It's not going to be easy. I'll tell you that. I know Andrew, he says he is absolutely amazing with nationalities. And I believe him because there's been some times I'm like,
Daniel, it's all the career mode I've played. I'm not even going to lie. Like FIFA 20, FIFA 21, FIFA 19, take it all the way back to like FIFA like 14. Like I've been playing career mode forever. So I know all the guys, you know, like I'm pretty good.
Yeah. some of these nationalities, like it's a good quiz. We're just gonna say that. So Andrew,
so what's the cutoff for me to win? Like, I have to get more than seven, or like,
I'm gonna say seven for you to win.
Okay, fair enough.
We're gonna do all 10. So even if, let's say mathematically you can't get all seven, we're gonna do all 10 anyways. But for you to win, I say you gotta get, should be seven. Yeah, seven and above. So you can miss out on four.
Okay, fair. Okay. Fair enough.
First one. This is player number one. I think this might be a little bit easy for you. Said Benrahma. Where is he from?
Saeed Benrahma?
Yeah, Saeed. Okay, I said
Saeed. He plays his football for West Ham, formerly of Brentford. This is too easy. Algeria. Easy.
Okay, there we go. Easy. Easy. You know what? We got to start off a little bit easy in the first one. We're going to move to our second player. We got Matthew Ryan. Where is Matthew Ryan from?
Matthew Ryan, the goalkeeper for, he's Arsenal now, right?
Yes.
He is from down under, mate. He's Australian.
That is correct. You are two for two. Moving on to the third player. Okay, I didn't think you would get, whatever. It's okay. You're starting off easy. Third player, Christian Fuchs. Where is Christian Fuchs from? Fuchs.
He played a huge part in Leicester's, you know, campaign. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2016 when they won the Premier League. He was a big part. He played fullback. This is another easy one, Daniel. My man's is Austrian. Fuchs is Austrian, man. Geez. This is so easy, Daniel.
Okay. We're moving on to a little bit harder. We're going to go fourth player. You're three for three currently. Arthur Masuaku. Where is Arthur Masuaku from?
He's another fullback.
Another fullback.
Plays for West Ham. Mm-hmm. He's kind of nasty in FIFA, not gonna lie. I used him when I had a little starter prem team. This is another easy one, Daniel.
No way this is easy.
He's from the Congo. Do you want me to describe the flag? He's from the Congo.
How did you get that one?
Flash in the middle. It's a nice flag. Yeah, I love it.
It is a nice flag, actually. Yeah, it's from Congo. We're going to move on to another mainstream player here. This is a bigger player. You'll definitely know the player. But his nationality, you know, I was never able to guess his nationality. It's always a weird one for me. Naby Keita.
Easy. Bro, I'm going to talk a little bit about a player because he's a great player. And, you know, he came over from Leipzig. And I was anticipating him to be a nasty player. He's been amazing. But he's kind of tapered off since he's come here. His buzz has died down. His stock has definitely gone down. But Daniel, to answer your question, he's from Guinea.
No way. You are 5 for 5 right now.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I'm awesome at this, man. I'm FIFA, man.
I made this too easy. This next one was an easy one. I thought you weren't gonna get a couple in a row there, so I decided to throw a little easy one in here, and I think he deserves to be put in here for how well he's been playing. Kelechi Iheanacho.
Oh my gosh, Daniel. Now, let me talk about him first a little bit again, because I think he's really revitalized his career with Leicester in this last, you know, 3 or 4 months, because he's been getting into that team. He's been able to hold up the play for Leicester. He's really complimented Jamie Vardy well, and he's got the legs to compliment Jamie Vardy. He's able to keep up with him there and hold up the play. But Iheanacho, the former Manchester City man, is from Nigeria. He's Nigerian.
You're doing way better at this than I thought you would. You're 6 for 6. You literally got to get one more to win, which I do believe you'll get one of these. We're going to move on to our seventh player here. We got Sander Berge. I'm going to give you the team he plays for because this is like a little bit unknown. Sander Berge, he's from Sheffield United.
No, I know exactly who he is. He's a holding midfielder. He's quite tall, actually. He plays with guys like Haaland, you know, Hodge. He plays with... What country is that again? Oh, it's Norway. So yeah.
Oh my god, Norway. You're 7 for 7. Okay, that, if we do this again, I am picking like literally the most unknown Premier League players of all time.
He's actually a good player. He came in from Belgium, I believe, and he's done a tremendous job. Even though, you know, Sheffield is not the best situation for him, he's done a tremendous job. Came in last year. Hopefully, they're able to retain his rights because he's a young player. He's going to help the future of Norway and their national team. But I want to see him elsewhere. I want to see him play on a decent side. And I would like to see him on Wolves. I would like to see him on Wolves.
Wolves. Wow. There we go. Sander Berge to Wolves. You've said it here first on March 26, 2001 on Premier Talk.
2001?
2001, 2021. Oh, boy,
I wasn't even born yet.
Neither was I. We got, so there you go. You are 7 for 7. We're moving on to the 8th player. Getting a little bit harder, but I feel like it's not good. I should just stop saying it's getting harder because it's just, you're going to get them anyways. We got Aaron Connolly.
Aaron Connolly. Oh, I actually don't know this one. Aaron Connolly.
Do you want the team he plays?
Yeah, can you give me the team at least? Yeah.
He plays on Brighton and Hove Albion. Aaron Connolly. He's been there since 2019.
Oh, this one I might trip up on here. Aaron Connolly. Mm-hmm. Can you give me his position? I actually don't know who he is.
You don't know Aaron Connolly?
No, I don't. Aaron Connolly. Oh, my. This is bad.
Do you? You got it? No?
No,
I
don't.
Position?
No.
I don't want to. I feel like this is going to give it away.
Just say his position.
Okay, he's a forward.
The forward. Aaron Connolly. I know. He plays for Brighton?
Yes.
I know, like, the Sully March. I know, like, Neil Maupay. I know Trossard.
I believe he's a winger. He plays once in a while.
Connolly. His name sounds like he might be from one of the British Isles. Connolly. I'm going to say he's from the Republic of Ireland. He's Irish. Is he?
There is no way you got that.
I'm listening to his name.
You got to be cheating. You're cheating.
No, I swear. My hands are, look at my hands. Bro, like, you said Connolly, and I'm, like, thinking, it sounds like it's from the British Isles, right? Maybe from Northern Ireland, or it's definitely not English. You wouldn't ask me if he was in
Republic of Ireland.
Republic of Ireland. There you go.
Eight of eight.
I'm too good at this, Daniel. I'm too good at this.
Okay, I feel like these last two you're going to get, because I wasn't expecting
that. That was a guess. Like, that was a better guess. One? Okay. That was a guess, though.
We got, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's first name. I'm just going to say his last name because I'm going to butcher it so badly.
Okay, go for it.
Kouyaté.
Oh, there's so many Kouyatés. Can you give me...
Chekui?
he plays for Palace, right?
He plays for Palace, yes. Chekui Konate. Chekui. I don't want to butcher that. I think I'm butchering it.
I think he plays with a man that plays for Liverpool by the name of Sadio Mane. I believe... He's Senegalese.
You are correct.
Let's go. Senegalese.
You are 9 for 9.
Shout out Senegal.
You are 9 for 9. Moving on to the last player. This one's easy. I'm like, I'm starting to look at it now. I thought I'm going like a little bit difficult and then like throwing you a little bone and then a little bit difficult and then throwing you another bone. I gotta stop throwing bones. We got as a 10th player, Fabian Schär.
He's a center half.
He is.
Plays for Newcastle.
He does.
I know exactly where he's from. I believe he used to play in the Bundesliga, if I'm not mistaken. He plays with the Benfica man, Hedis Sofetovic, for none other than the Swiss national team. Fabian Schär. 10 out of 10. Let's go. I should have wagered something for this because I'm actually pretty good.
I would not. I can't believe you got 10 out of 10.
It's that, like, I have like a photographic memory for like FIFA players. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I used to play career mode like crazy, so like my memory's just off the charts. But anyways, I actually liked doing that, the guy from Brighton was great. Connolly was a tough one. I didn't remember him as a player, so
yeah. No, you did really well in that. You went 10 for 10 and your congratulations.
There's no bonus one.
I can't give you a bonus. You already got 10 for 10. What, you won 110%?
Yeah, why not?
No, that was great. I didn't think you would do that well, to be completely honest with you. Congratulations, because you're obviously way better at picking nationalities than I thought.
Let me give myself a medal. I think I deserve a medal for that.
For those of you guys watching on YouTube, I know on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Andrew currently just left to go get himself a medal, and now he's back with what looks like to be a gold. Is it a gold medal? Bronze medal?
Bronze from Austin, but you know, it'll work.
It'll work. Guys, it's still a medal.
This is the medal I received for the Guess the Nationality quiz. No one better than me. You know, coach always said I could do it. You know, and it's been lots of training. I put a lot of training in for this, and it's all paid off.
A lot of FIFA.
So yeah, it's paid off, and you know, we're gonna do it again. We're gonna run it back. Mm-hmm.
The next time got to be a lot more difficult, because I thought it was I wouldn't have gotten half of them, to be honest with you. But thank God I'm not the one doing the quiz. Okay, that wraps up the episode.
I just want to give another shout out to Team Canada. U23s were rooting for you. I really want to see Lucas Díaz get in there, score, because it's the first time he's represented Canada. So I'm super excited to see if he can get in there and score a goal for Canada. It's going to be hard to go against El Tri, the Mexican side, and get a result. But we're rooting for you guys, and tune in on Sunday. Sunday evening, I believe they're gonna take on Mexico. So super exciting. If they win that, they advance to the Tokyo Olympics. So super exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a big game for Canada. We hope that they win that one. And thank you guys again for listening. Andrew's biting his metal currently. We're gonna be up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as always, YouTube, wherever you guys want to listen, we're there. And we appreciate you guys more than you know.
Appreciate it. And we will see you guys next time, episode 9 coming up soon. Cheers.
See you later.